This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This is the Olive Magazine podcast, a weekly slice of food and drink chat brought to you by the team behind Olive Magazine. I'm Janine, Olive's food director and podcast host, and this is episode 173. This week, I'm chatting to our drinks writer, Hannah, all about the Japanese national drink, sake. She'll be telling the fascinating story of how it's made and explaining some of the different styles that are out there to try. Hi, Hannah. Welcome back to the podcast.
Oh, hello.
You've written an amazing feature in our November issue, and it's all about sake, which I believe is the Japanese national drink.
Yes. Well, it's definitely drunk widely over all across Japan. Apparently, it's getting slightly less popular,
I think, really?
With the younger generation. Okay. But I think it's becoming more popular outside of Japan.
Yeah.
So I think you're seeing more and more people drinking it in the UK. We've actually got two sake breweries.
Okay.
Kanpai and Peckham, and there's another one in...
I've got written that in Cambridgeshire. It's called Dojima.
Yes.
So there, I did my research. I'd like to go there one day. The thing about sake is, and I was quite fascinated reading this, is I think a lot of people, me included, you think of sake and you just think it's sake, but it's not. It's like, it's much more nuanced than that. It's much wider than that. There's loads of different styles, and we'll get onto that in a minute. But first of all, like, how is it actually made? What is it made from?
So sake is actually made from rice.
Okay.
People often describe it as a rice wine. That's actually not correct. It's kind of brewed more like a beer.
Oh, really?
So, you know, like how usually you use barley to make beer, right? And you have to malt the barley.
Yeah.
To convert the starch in the barley into sugar,
okay.
Because then the yeast then converts that sugar into alcohol.
Yeah, okay.
So getting a little bit technical about brewing.
This is good, this is all good.
And if you don't, so when you malt barley, basically what you do is it undergoes a process where the barley is allowed to like partially germinate. And when it partially germinates, it converts the starch into sugar.
Okay.
So with rice,
germinating.
Yeah, so what you do with rice is they have this mold called koji.
Oh, yeah.
Which is used to make...
I think we were talking about that the other week, me and Adam, about fermentation and koji, because that's the stuff that you also use to make... It's quite magic, isn't it? You use it to make miso and soy sauce as well.
Yeah, it's a bit of a multitasker. So they use this microorganism called koji, and it's they add that to the rice, and when it ferments, the koji turns the starch inside the rice into sugar. And then that sugar is then converted by yeast into alcohol.
I know the one thing that I read about it was the rice polishing, which changes the structure of the rice depending on how much you polish off. Why do they do that? And how do they do it?
Well, so basically the rice is, it's either polished or basically you mill it. And what it does is so the core of the rice is starch, and the outer shell of the rice is full of sort of fats and vitamins and minerals.
Okay.
And basically, the more the rice is milled, which means more of the outer shell is polished away, and the easier it is for the koji to access the starch inside.
Okay.
And the really interesting thing about sake is there are degrees to which the outer surface can be milled away, and it really affects the final taste.
Okay.
So
what sort of ratios are you looking at normally?
It starts with, I think it can be all sorts of different ratios.
Okay.
It can be 10% of the surface of the rice is milled away, and that means 80% of the rice is left. But what tends to happen is usually with like a kind of a nice sake, you tend to have a polishing ratio of usually at least 70%, okay. which means that 30% of the outer grain has been taken away. And so the lower the ratio, the more it's been polished. And the idea is that this outer layer with the fats and the vitamins and the minerals, it can tend to produce, I'll say, off flavors, but I don't, doesn't mean necessarily
to get
bad.
Like
but
more of a purity in the, in the brew.
A sake with a lower polishing ratio will tend to have a kind of lighter, maybe slightly sweeter, fruitier, more refined character.
Yeah.
Whereas one with a higher polishing ratio will tend to be a bit more fuller bodied and a bit more savoury.
Yeah.
So we tend to think of, and it, to be fair, the sakes with lower polishing ratios tend to be seen as more premium and they tend to fetch higher prices. But that's not to say that a sake with a higher polishing ratio, like a Junmai, is
bad.
It's just not, different. But it's just different. And it really depends on what you prefer, drinking, really.
Where does the price point come from? Because I was looking on, I was like, where am I going to look? I'll look on Nobu menu. And, you know, you've got bottles for 20 quid. You've got bottles. Actually, I don't think there was anything there for 20 quid. 30 quid. There was one for 400. And I was thinking, wow, that's pretty expensive. How does it, I mean, are we talking there more about people spending a long time doing it, producing a very refined thing, maybe under a certain label? Is that where the sort of price point comes from? Similar to wine, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's the same with any kind of alcohol brand, really, from whiskey to wine. I think it's, I definitely think, so in terms of the different categories of sake, something like a daigin, so a daiginjo, which is where at least 50% of the rice grain has been polished away, that's probably seen as like the highest grade in inverted commas. That is regarded one of them, that will probably fetch the most. If you take, for example, daiginjo sake, this is made with rice polished to at least 50%, which means like half of the rice grain has already been polished away. That usually is one of the more expensive types of sake. And it's also usually been fermented. It's more of a labor-intensive process, fermented at colder temperatures for a longer time. Another thing that, another way you can sort of categorize sake, and this is where it can get a bit complicated if
you're... It gets quite nerdy, doesn't it?
It does get quite nerdy.
I'm still baffled by it, even reading your guide. I'm like, it's still like, I know there's another 100 varieties out there as well, so...
I know, it's a little bit... Well, so the other thing about the rice polishing, so that's one factor, how much the rice is polished away, but one of the other main ways to categorize sake is whether you add alcohol during the brewing process. And what sake brewers usually do with some types of sake is they'll add a very, very, very tiny amount of brewer's alcohol to the sake and what that does. And it's a very, very small amount. And I think they dilute the final result, so it doesn't actually make it more alcoholic.
Sake we're looking at, it's kind of, is it like sherry level?
Yeah, it's like, about 15, around 15%
it's
ABV.
Not like, it's not a spirit, even though you're drinking in tiny little cups. It's actually
I think you can get stronger amounts, but that's, it's around 15%. And the ones which have a little bit of alcohol added, I think they still dilute the final result. So it's not more alcoholic, but what it does is it makes it a little bit more lighter and easy drinking and slightly more aromatic. So I've heard it described as a sake. So for example, a Honjozo sake, which is polished to at least 70%, which means 30% has been ground away. It's quite smooth, quite easy to drink, and I've heard it described as a session sake.
I love the idea of that.
If you're gonna like
just drink it on its own.
Yeah, if you're gonna spend all day just knocking it back. So without wishing to get too complicated, you broadly have about four types of sake according to whether the rice is milled. And then within that, within each type of sake,
So there's like
it's
an
whether
umbrella.
You have alcohol added or no alcohol added. Yeah. So,
and is alcohol added seen as like a bit of a cop-out, as in it's going to be cheaper because you've added alcohol because you've kind of skipped a step and you haven't brought it up to the alcohol yourself?
No, it's not seen as a and you don't really even skip a step. It's just and this tiny amount, yeah. for some reason, it just slightly changes the character of it. So it just makes it a little bit lighter, a little bit easier. But so sake, which has had no alcohol added to it, you would always call a junmai sake.
Okay.
So for example, junmai sake, it's quite hard to explain, so I appreciate that it's getting complicated.
Yeah, we've got plenty of time.
I'll really go briefly through the main categories.
Yeah, that'd be great, because there's not that many. You said that there's only four. So
they'd be easier to go.
So junmai is like your starter sake that hasn't been messed around with too much.
Not at all. So it's polished to at least, the rice has been polished to at least 70% and 30% has been ground away, and it's made with only rice, water, koji and yeast. There's no alcohol added.
Okay.
Then the next one, Honjozo, has got the same rice polishing ratio,
okay.
but it has had alcohol added.
I see, right.
Then Ginjo sake is made with rice polished to at least 60%, which means 40% has been ground away. And then you could have Ginjo sake, which means the alcohol has been added.
Right.
But if you say Junmai Ginjo,
that means
it means no alcohol has been added.
Yeah. Okay.
And then the next grade is Daiginjo, which is the one I mentioned before, which is ground to at least 50%. And you either have Daiginjo sake, which has alcohol added, or Junmai Daiginjo, which has no alcohol added.
Oh, so they're all kind of crossing over with each other. I can see that there. I think I noticed on the Nobu thing that it was the Daiginjo that was the expensive one.
Yes, so that's the most likely to be the priciest one.
So I've learned something now.
Yes.
So you can basically take those four types, Junmai, Honjozo, Ginjo, and Daiginjo.
Yes.
And if you've got them in your head or on a piece of paper, when you go off to your place that's serving different types, you'll have some kind of umbrella terms for how you choose it. And with them, what about serving it? Because in your intro, you say you can serve it room temp, chilled, or hot, or warm, or whatever. What is it just personal preference, or there's some that are better served chilled? What's the thinking?
I think the good thing about sake is it's pretty flexible, and you can eat it with most things, everything from cheese to fish and chips.
I know you said pizza. I was interested.
Yeah.
Which one of those would you have with pizza? Probably the junmai.
Yes.
I was just feeling like your high-end sushi, you want the really delicate kind of, or you want the one that's going to complement you to the thing.
Yeah, I think, I agree totally. I think obviously there, depending on different sake breweries, I'm sure there's something that you can try with everything, but with the junmai, it tends to be more savoury, more fuller bodied. So I'd have that with pizza. And something like a ginjo, a daiginjo, you'd probably have, and I'd have the junmai probably warm or room temperature.
Okay.
Whereas a daiginjo or a ginjo, you'd maybe have chilled and have it with kind of light fish and seafood dishes.
It sounds like you've done quite a lot of research in the in the interest of this feature.
Yes, I did do a lot of research. It was super interesting, but I did disappear down a black hole of rice polishing. And
when you do tastings, because I know you've done quite a few sake tastings, and you have them next to each other, is it much more obvious then what the styles are, like the differences between the styles?
I like to think so. I think it definitely helps to taste a few different sakes to really kind of appreciate it. But I went to a really interesting tasting where it was set up at different stalls. So you had oysters in one section, you had fish and chips in another, and you had cheese in another.
Where was my invite to that?
That's probably when I first became really interested in it, because I just, like
blew
probably
mind,
most people
basically.
Just
yeah.
thought there's just one type of sake and that's it. But because again, I won't go into much detail, but you can have like aged sake, you can have sake that's unfiltered, you can have sake that's not diluted, so it's much boozier. So within that, there's lots of different styles. So I think I had an aged sake, which was really kind of nutty and almost like a dessert one. I had that with cheese, and that was very good.
So would they serve it like as a digestive? I mean, you know, would you be served sake, say if you were in, like, I guess, like all the way through the meal, so you could have like different styles within a meal?
I'm not sure what they would do in Japan, but I mean, in theory, that's what, you know, you could serve it. I mean, I think it's good to treat sake. If you were to buy a bottle at home, it is quite versatile.
Quite thingy though, isn't it? I mean, you want it, you don't keep it around, a bit like sherry. It doesn't last forever. It's not like having a bottle of whiskey.
No.
You wouldn't want to leave it in your cupboard for 2 years, because I guess it would deteriorate.
I mean, it wouldn't, you know, it's the same with, like, say, a vermouth, like I said, or
probably
a sherry or wine.
Keep it in the fridge,
keep it chilled. But I mean, yes, obviously you can have it on its own with food, but yeah. We've actually got some features in the magazine, so you can have it with some tonic water, which makes for a really nice sort of low ABV drink.
Yeah, so you've written some lovely cocktail recipes. So you've just got a really simple one, which is sake and tonic.
Yes.
With some slices of green apple, which sounds really refreshing. And what else? So you've got cider in there, Hannah. You're such a West Country girl.
I know. So sorry, I couldn't help myself.
Any excuse to get cider in a drink.
Well, yeah.
Tell us about that one. I like that.
Well, so you add about 50 mils of sake, a little bit of yuzu juice, and then some just dry sparkling cider.
Yuzu is that citrus fruit, isn't it? That's become quite trendy, which is between a lime and a clementine, I think, the flavour. But it's a Japanese, but you can get little bottles of it now in the supermarket.
Yes, I think that's what I used.
So we've got sake, yuzu and dry cider.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
It just makes it super refreshing.
Yeah. And then just to hit you over the head with a kosh, we've got the sake martini.
Yes.
So how do you make that?
Well, so just treat the sake as you would the vermouth in a martini.
Oh, right.
So I did a sort of more of a wet martini, which is 50 mils of gin and 50 mils of sake, just so you can taste more of the sake in it. But it seems like it's still a bit of a niche ingredient, but actually because sake does have all these complex flavours and it has also this slightly umami edge to it. So it does pair well with lots of different cocktails and lots of different foods.
I was looking at some of the names, and I know that we recommend the Japan Centre. It's brilliant. If you can get to the Japan Centre in London, it's a big Japanese supermarket which has tons of different types of sake in there. The labelling obviously is still not the normal kind of labelling from Japan. So, but I think on the back of the bottles, you would see the words Junmai, Honjozo, Ginjo, Ginjo, if you were looking, wouldn't you?
I think so, yeah.
You would be able to ask somebody.
Yeah,
or
if it's not clear on the label. I think sometimes they will also put the percentage on the label as well.
Yeah.
But just ask. Ask if you're not sure.
Yeah, ask and go on a little sake journey.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you very much, Hannah. That was brilliant. So that was the Olive Magazine podcast. If you like this episode, please leave a review. We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to find out more information on things in this episode, you can visit our website, olivemagazine.com. You can pick up a copy of our brand new November issue on the newsstand now, or go and download the app version. Bye for now, and we'll be back next week with more food and drink chat.